From its early days, the Royal Edinburgh Military Tattoo has been an international favorite. Performers from over 48 countries have taken part in the tattoo, and around 30% of the 220,000 audience each year are from overseas. Each year's tattoo is very much a global gathering, and its unique ability to bring together thousands of people for this annual celebration of music and entertainment continues, and the public's appetite for pomp and ceremony shows no sign of diminishing. That from the official website of the Edinburgh Tattoo. The tattoo takes place in August, and a team from Scranton was in Edinburgh at that very time this summer, but not to take part in that pageantry, but to hang out on the fringe, the formal fringe. We learn the Edinburgh Fringe story dates back to 1947, when 8 theatre groups turned up uninvited to perform at the then newly formed Edinburgh International Festival, an initiative created to celebrate and enrich European cultural life in the wake of the Second World War. Not being part of the official program of the International Festival didn't stop these performers. They just went ahead and staged their shows on the fringe of the festival anyway, coining the phrase, the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Since the dawn of this spontaneous artistic movement, millions have flocked to the Edinburgh Festival Fringe to produce and to enjoy art of every genre. Meanwhile, more and more performers followed their example, and in 1958, the Festival Fringe Society was created in response to the success of this growing trend. The society formalized the existence of this collective of performances, provided information to artists, published the Fringe program, and created a central box office. Its constitution was written in line with the ethos that brought these theater companies to Edinburgh back in 1947, that the society was to take no part in vetting the festival's program. To this day, that policy remains at the core of the festival, and they're proud to include in their program anyone with a story to tell and a venue willing to host them. That from the official website of the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. As it happens, a study was released this past week reporting that Edinburgh is the top cultural and creative city of its size in Europe. That's according to a landmark study of cultural activity in 30 European countries by the European Commission Joint Research Center. Selected cities in 28 European Union countries, plus Norway and Switzerland, have been ranked in a new report and online tool called the Cultural and Creative Cities Monitor. It uses a combination of quantitative and qualitative studies to give a comparative assessment of the city's levels of engagement with culture and creativity. Edinburgh is ranked first among cities of 250,000 to 500,000 inhabitants based on a range of indicators related to cultural vibrancy, the cultural pulse of a city in terms of cultural infrastructure and participation in culture, creative economy, how the cultural and creative sectors contribute to a city's employment, job creation, and innovative capacity, and enabling environment, the tangible and intangible assets that help cities attract creative talent and stimulate cultural engagement. That from Liz Hill at European Placemaking. And that's no surprise to the contingent from Scranton that just visited Edinburgh. This week marks the opening of the 3rd annual Scranton Fringe Festival. Coordinators Connor O'Brien and Elizabeth Bowen paid a visit to the WVIA studios with Alison Northrup, 2017 Fringe intern, to talk about the Scranton Fringe Festival and this summer's trip to Edinburgh.
Fringe is a performing arts festival that takes place across the globe. It began 70 years ago with the original Fringe in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1947, and we were so fortunate to attend a good part of the 70th annual Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and it was just absolutely incredible.
What did you experience that you didn't expect and that you did expect?
Well, we did expect to meet up with the producers and the directors of other Fringe festivals. We went to a couple of meetings and panel discussions with them and got clued into how different Fringes do different things around the world. That's really interesting to me personally. I just went to Rochester Fringe last weekend and met up with Shayla Batchelder, Dr. Fringe, who's the director of Pittsburgh Fringe. So just to see like how things are going with them, to see the different levels of audience participation and different amount of shows and how they run the things behind the scenes is something that I really appreciated going to Scotland and meeting up with everyone at the same time when they're not busy and hearing about.
I think that for me, going to Edinburgh, I expected the incredible theater and arts and dance and music and networking with other festivals. I don't think I quite expected how part of the commerce and the entire overall culture Fringe is in Edinburgh. And that was kind of inspiring for us because in Scranton Fringe, as we're gearing up for our third year, we do work very closely with a lot of the downtown Scranton businesses and the retail shops, the cafes, the restaurants. But to see on a more year-round level how integrated Fringe was with its community and region. So that was really exciting to see. And because of that, and because it was just an equal part of the commercial and business and mercantile culture of the city, that it was so heavily respected and valued and supported. So that was kind of a inspiring takeaway for me personally.
And what has drawn you to this experience of Fringe?
Well, I was looking for an internship opportunity for the summer, and I'm really into the arts, and I love performing, and I like to support the arts in any capacity that I can. So this was a perfect opportunity for that, you know, and I get to support the Scranton community while doing so. So it was really a good fit.
Allison has been terrific, whereas Liz and I, at the directorial staff level, need to be focusing on the outreach and promotion of the big picture. Allison has been instrumental in giving a voice to the individual productions and giving them spotlights and features and focuses and being able to be a bit more at ground level than Liz and I frankly have time for, which doesn't mean it's not just as important, if not more so. So Allison's work is owed a large credit of why I feel we have had so many productions really step up their social media marketing, because we've been able to engage with them on a level we never have before.
Even though you've just come back and Fringe is about to start here, are there things that you will do differently this year because of your experience in Edinburgh?
I really, like I mentioned before, I really like the community aspect. And I think that's something that as we grow, if possible, that I would like to extend to other people. We have a lot of out-of-town artists coming this year, a lot of people who do the Fringe circuit. This is their thing. They go from Fringe to Fringe with their shows, and they perform for Fringe audiences who kind of get what Fringe is about. And they swap in different shows. And we have one artist, Martin Dockery. We saw him in Edinburgh doing his show. And I had met him in Montreal for the Fringe. And now he's coming here for the first time to Scranton. His show Delirium is really going to be an interesting experience. And it's in the Scranton Cultural Center. But I think people like him who they as artists can give feedback to us and say, this Fringe does it that way and I think this would benefit you. Or, oh, nobody's ever offered me this before. I can't believe that this idea is just starting to form in Fringes. I think the feedback loop of all of the Fringes, the artists that are in it, is important. We love and value our local artists too, and we're so happy that they're here. But it's us going to Scotland and artists that travel the world coming to us is kind of how we grow and develop.
To echo that, I think for me, while it was only so recently that it happened, even in preparation to go to Edinburgh and then being there, it really reinforced to us and the entire team that were there the potential of creating what I'm going to call a flyering culture. And it's not that our region in Edinburgh, Scotland, on the Royal Mile or in all the sections of the city, it is rare that you are not being bombarded every 10 seconds with, hi, I have a comedy show tonight, or I have a dance troupe performing in 20 minutes right here, or 3 miles up the Royal Mile. But while we don't necessarily have that that surge and that huge surplus of bodies, you know, trekking the streets of Scranton, we have been encouraging and empowering our artists to get out in advance of the festival more to live cultural events happening. For example, the Italian Festival, or the Electric City Music Conference, or First Friday, or I've seen artists promoting themselves at business openings and races, marathons, so on and so forth. So really making the performing arts and the marketing aspect of that such, again, an integral part of the day-to-day life. and taking advantage of the crowds and creating an excitement and a buzz and capitalizing that and having pride in their individual show as part of this greater festival, I think is something that we were always trying to create, but I think Edinburgh gave us a bit more of a practical insight into how we can further empower others to do that.
And that's something that you are dedicated to, aren't you, Allison, in terms of marketing and promotion?
Yeah, definitely. I have a great time going to these outreach events, you know, Pride on the Mountain, and it's so fun because at these events I go to, you know, support the Fringe and get the word out there, I also see the individual artists supporting their own show. I was at Pride on the Mountain at Montage, and I saw the woman from the Hugging Army. She was there, you know, with her sign on, walking around. And at First Friday, the group The Princes, one of the shows, was there, and they had their Prince getup on, and they were all ready to go out and tell people about the show. And I think that's so great.
We've just recently been talking about how much of a festival town Scranton is becoming. There are so many festivals throughout the year that happen, whether they focus on the performing arts, whether it's the Electric City Music Conference that Connor just mentioned, the food at La Festa Italiana. There's so many big events that all operate independently and they draw their crowds in, and then you go to them and you say, oh wow, yeah, there really is so much to do in Scranton and there's so many people who are interested in participating.
The other thing that you experienced, no doubt, in Edinburgh, of course, the history of the city of Edinburgh and the various venues, the spaces, the way those are used by creative people who have a vision of, oh, we could do this there, and wouldn't that be just magical? You have been able to do that in terms of your partnerships with the businesses and the people who are making their spaces available to you for these performances.
Yes, and our local partners are so welcoming and excited about that. For example, we've used the Cultural Center, the Scranton Cultural Center at the Masonic Temple, as a venue before. This year, we're expanding into using three spaces within that one building. And they're so welcoming and excited to have it and willing to provide a bar for the patrons and that kind of thing. And then the Hilton Hotel, we're using two spaces inside of there, and we're going to set up like a common area. They're actually going to even offer a discount if you go to multiple shows at the Hilton Hotel. So, I mean, you really can't beat that kind of thing. Even our office this year is upstairs at AFA Gallery. And just to partner with an art gallery and to have the visual be much more of an aspect. We have had our visual exhibit there at AFA last year and will again this year. But just to be there every day and to see the people coming in and out. And again, different aspects of all the people that are interested in one specific thing. So we see the people who are the visual people, and then we see the theater people and the music people, and it all ties together at the end.
And there's a great deal of word of mouth in the course of the festival.
We're really encouraging that even more so this year in our guide, in our paper festival guide. If anyone has a copy of it, there's a page, it's like the second to last page, for Fringe reviews. And we're encouraging people, there's a little star rating and it says show title, venue. We're encouraging people to bring them to AFA Gallery, our office, and we'll put them in the window so that it'll be kind of a community meeting place. Anybody can, of course, write a review on their social media and take pictures, but then the whole community doesn't always see that, depending on their privacy settings. So we're kind of going old school with the paper. Just rip it right out of your guide and bring it to AFA and tell other people what you think.
No, you're absolutely right. There's an incredible word of mouth, and we're so excited, as Liz said, for the review system that we've created to empower our audiences, because that's literally half of our mission, is to make the performing arts engaging and accessible, not just for artists, but for audiences alike. And I think that in our region, because we have so many amazing cultural institutions and performing arts, the one thing that I don't see I feel enough of is we don't challenge our audiences. We do market research and we study and we know, oh, this show will sell well, that show will sell well. And yes, there is of course always a financial bottom line that any sustainable organization needs to keep in mind, but we don't challenge our audiences to say, hey, try something different. Or take a risk, and if you love it, say you love it. And if you don't love it, say why you don't love it. And I feel like that's something we don't see enough of in this region, and I feel that that's systemic to kind of a community self-esteem issue that we face. And that's why one of the events that we are most proud of is the very kickoff party itself at the Scranton Cultural Center on Wednesday, September 27th from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., which is free and open to the public, and almost all, if not all, productions in the festival are invited. to do a 3 to 5 minute preview scene. Again, the event is free, so anyone can attend. You might see something that never interested you before and now you're excited. You might see something you only kind of heard of and now you really want to go see it. You very well might go see something that you thought you were interested in and then decide, well, this doesn't hold my attention as much as XYZ that followed it did. So we really do believe in challenging our audiences, because once you in a region have decisive and engaging and thought-provoking dialogue with your audience, the art from there can only grow.
Well, give us a sample of what we might experience.
One event that I'm always incredibly proud to see, this is our third year of presenting the Big Gay Story Slam, which is part of the Scranton Story Slam series that we have absorbed year-round as an organization. It's a story slam celebrating the voices of our LGBTQ+ community and their allies, and it's just been such an incredible equalizer in terms of people coming together and the narratives that they're telling. All the stories that are told are not necessarily, you know, based upon a narrative that is exclusively LGBT, but the fact that it's coming from these individuals and the unifying themes that underlie those narratives. But the LGBT-focused programming that we're able to do, in part due to a very special partnership with the NEPA Rainbow Alliance, has always been something we're very proud of, and we're starting to see more submissions and shows entering our festival with queer theater undertones or LGBT narratives behind them, and I think in part it's because we have been able to prove that Scranton Fringe is a safe space for such work.
How about you, Liz?
Well, one show that I would recommend, and it's not because I'm producing it, and Connor's in one of the shows, is the show called White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. It's the only show we're actually going to hold in our office at AFA Gallery. It was written in 2011 by an Iranian playwright named Nassim Soleimanpour, who at the time, because he refused to participate in military service, he was not allowed to leave the country. So the whole point of this play is kind of not knowing, just that's the point of the play. The people who are performing it, they have no idea what the play is about. They're not allowed to know. I have to be careful what I say in front of Connor because I read the script and now I'm bursting to talk about it, but I can't. So you can perform it one time as an actor and then never again, because it's the element of trust, the element of surprise, the element of communication between the author of the play and the person in the future that he's never met. That connection, the play is the connection. So we're having three performances, one on Thursday at 7:30, one on Saturday, September 30th at 7:30, and one on Sunday, October 1st at 5 p.m. It will be Connor, the co-director of the festival. It will be Simone Daniel, who is also hosting our preview party, which Connor talked about before. And it will be Michael Burgos, who is a Scranton Fringe favorite with the eulogy from previous years. And this year, he's going to bring his world premiere new show, Yum, to Scranton Fringe. So those three actors, I'm really excited to see how different their interpretations of the play is. It's a cold reading and just how it unfolds.
You have a turn.
Yeah, personally, I'm super excited to see Miss Electric City. You know, I've worked so much with the social media over the course of this, and they've done a really great job about getting their word of mouth out there. They do these videos within their show. So their show's basically, it's Miss Electric City, they're crowning Miss Electric City, and they go off of, like, stereotypes from around Scranton, so there's Miss Southside and some other things. I'm so excited to see it. So they do videos, and it's kind of like video and like a play all in one. It's super cool, but they've been going to karaoke nights and in character and this sort of thing, and it's so cool to see. I like when I see people getting into the things they're working on.
What a range, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. What do you tell people who want to know more about what's on offer?
For more information, including a complete list of events and schedule and how to buy tickets and how to get more involved, you can go to scrantonfringe.org. You can stop in and visit us at Fringe HQ, located inside the AFA Gallery at 514 Lackawanna Avenue. And above all, you can come to the kickoff party, Wednesday, September 27th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the Scranton Cultural Center, free to attend. And once again, visit us at scrantonfringe.org.
Tell us about the rooster.
That is King Raymond, our beloved mascot. He is indirectly named after Raymond Hood, the famed architect of the Scranton Cultural Center. It really began kind of accidentally. It was just a mock-up design that someone did for us years ago, and our branding has changed since then. But we kind of liked it. It was just weird enough, but just it kind of became familiar to us, and it kind of became a familiar brand icon. And also the cliche idea of being chicken or not bold enough, and that's the antithesis of what Fringe is all about. So we thought what better way to represent flipping something on its head than utilizing an animal that is often associated with not being bold and courageous. So King Raymond was born.
He really epitomizes the tagline, "Let your fringe flag fly."
Elizabeth Bowen, Managing Director and Co-Founder, Connor O'Brien, Executive Director and Co-Founder, and 2017 Scranton Fringe intern Allison Northrup, speaking with us about the 2017 Scranton Fringe Festival getting underway this Wednesday, September 27th, and running through Sunday, October 1st, in and around downtown Scranton. Across those 5 days, there will be theater, music, dance, puppetry, visual arts, and much more. The base of operations is the Fringe headquarters at 514 Lackawanna Avenue in Scranton, the AFA Gallery. Online, it's scrantonfringe.org, scrantonfringe.org, and King Raymond is featured prominently on the program booklet that lists all of the venues and all of the events, where and when you can find them, and all of the supporters of Scranton Fringe and much more. ScrantonFringe.org, ScrantonFringe.org, the third annual. It's a performing arts festival in downtown Scranton, and it gets underway Wednesday, and that's Wednesday, September 27th, this Wednesday, from 6 to 9 at the Scranton Cultural Center, 420 North Washington Avenue, and that's the kickoff of the festival. It's a sampler, and you can go for free and see excerpts from all of the performances and decide how to spend the days that follow attending various events and such. That's a wrap. Is the Sunday, October 1st wrap party at 6:30 at the headquarters at the AFA Gallery, and that's free as well. For more information about all of the activities surrounding 2017 Scranton Fringe Festival, scrantonfringe.org. And as we heard, the individual performers and performing groups are encouraged to promote their own work. And a number of those performers were in touch with us. Oh, please help get the word out about what we are doing. Love is Dead is a theater piece. It's an original one act by John Buble. All Roger wants is some old-fashioned romance. You're invited to join him as he navigates through the trials and tribulations of the modern dating world. That's Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 9, and Sunday at 1. There is a performance titled Spots Be Gone, two romances about Macbeth, written and directed by David Parmalee. Love can blossom, he tells us, nearly blossom, or blossom and wither, anywhere, even within the play that must not be named. In two short one-act plays, four actors converge around productions of Macbeth. That's Saturday at 3 and 7:30, Sunday at 3, and you can check all of this online or in the program booklet. And also The Sound of Heaven, an interdisciplinary piece created by John Burt and Brenda Fernandez. It's a cabaret about two friends who get in a friendship-ending kind of fight. And that's Thursday at 6 p.m., Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 9. Just a sampling of some of the events in addition to the ones that we heard and didn't hear about in today's conversation on Art Scene. For more information, on the web, scrantonfringe.org.